The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
I have the big boy voice this morning. Good morning, everybody. Comes from riding motorcycles in the wind. It is a Saturday morning, 27 April 2024. Good old 710 KNUS. 42 will be the high. It's a really interesting morning out there. Actually, it's snow on my windshield. 57 on Sunday, Monday, 68 degrees. Without further ado, it's been too long. Please say good morning. Welcome back to the radio show. The one, the only, Dave Williams. Hey, David, good morning. We were kind of lagging and calling you. I apologize, but thanks for coming up and doing the show.
No problem. Good to be here, Peter.
Thank you, sir. How much time do we have?
You got some time. We can do a couple segments.
Cool. Like. That's good. Just begin at the beginning. There is so much criticism flying right now, and I'm sure you're more than aware of it, of what's taking place inside the Colorado Republican Party. How do you best define all of this, and where do you think it goes? There's a saying that comes from listening to politics and watching election returns. You can't rule or you can't run the show unless you win the election, and elections are won in the middle. David, what do you do with all of that?
Well, I mean, there's a lot to unpack with what you're asking, what you're saying. I think first and foremost, most of the criticism, if not all of it, are coming from individuals who didn't want me to win in the first place. You know, I occasionally will read the media from time to time, and it's, you know, mainly quotes from, you know, people that I've disagreed with politically in our own party, like Dick Wadhams, for example. Right, good example of someone who just never wanted to give me a chance from the word go. And, you know, that stuff doesn't faze me anymore. I mean, we do need to make fundamental changes within the Republican Party, and we shouldn't be surprised that when those changes are implemented, the very people that are no longer in power that led us to the super minority, by the way, it shouldn't be surprising that they're gonna bellyache. And I think that's important for people to understand, right? I mean, these very people who are claiming that the sky is falling, they're the ones that have had their way for the past 20 years at least, right? I mean, in 2022, that's a great example. They got every candidate that they wanted to be nominated, and they kept telling us, from Dick Wadhams, John Caldera, and the like, they all kept telling us, oh, if you just listen to us, if you just nominate the people we want, then we're going to win. We're on the verge of success. If only you listen to us, our sage advice, then we're somehow going to win. And we've had successive election losses that were worse and worse and worse. And yeah, they can blame Donald Trump all they like, but the truth is they were losing before that. And Donald Trump wasn't even on the ballot in 2022. In fact, I remember a time when there was a question of whether or not he would even become the nominee because of these different, quote, rising stars within our national party. Again, these people want to rewrite history because they're no longer in charge. But the fact is, they're the ones that led us to this disastrous situation that we're in, where Democrats control every, you know, statewide office, the legislature. You know, they're at fault, and they really shouldn't be, you know, complaining that we're trying to do something different. And if it works, great. We should all be happy. And if it doesn't work, well, they can take back over and try again.
Do you think, given the temperature of Colorado, and I don't know if Colorado's yet a blue state, I think there's some argument that it may be purple. Honestly, Dave, I mean, I don't see a way out. You and I have sat down and talked many times. I've said how much I like you and how much I disagree with what's taking place. How is there a way out of this?
Well, look, it's not going to be easy. None of this happened overnight. I mean, there's been a lot of systematic changes, certainly demographic change, but that doesn't account for all of it. I think what the story of Colorado is one of Democrats using their resources, their organizational skills, their just dominance to incrementally change how things function here. I mean, we all talk about the blueprint, but we all sort of ignore everything that happened after it, right? I mean, go back 20 years. Yep, the Democrats and all their wealthy benefactors funding the takeover of Colorado. But remember, Republicans had the ability to fight back against it. They had wealthy benefactors as well. They just didn't do it. And I have a couple theories why. But during that time, the Democrats, when they gained power, they changed the rules. One good example is universal mail-in balloting back in 2013. That really put us in danger, especially when Democrats figured out, you know, that ballot harvesting was a key to their success. Then you look at things like automatic voter registration, where you're defaulting people into the election process, people that may not have wanted to be a part of it to begin with. And that feeds into the built-in advantage that they have through automatic voter registration, or excuse me, through universal mail-in balloting, which helps them ballot harvest. I mean, there's a lot of things that Democrats really did well after the blueprint, when they had power, changing the rules. And Republicans, people like Dick Wadhams, failed to actually adjust and fight back properly. And now they want to blame grassroots conservatives and Donald Trump for losing? No, they don't get to do that.
I like both of you guys. I consider both friends, Dave and also Dick. And it's been heated. And now's this moment where November is pending. One of my many complaints is, and if it isn't true, please say so, you're urging people to send money to John Eastman. Dave Williams is with us. David, is that true?
No, we're urging people to send money to the Colorado Republican Party to pay for our lawsuit, or the Claremont Institute if they want to take advantage of, you know, a tax write-off. You know, it's up to them how they want to do it, but we're trying to fund this lawsuit to end open primaries. We think this is a part of the problem. Now, I know there are people who disagree with that, but at the end of the day, when the Republican Party, the base, wants to have this done, we do need to do it. That's how the whole system works. You can't just ignore the majority will. And, you know, that's the other thing that I want to address. People like Dick and others, you know, you can read all about them if you Google it. They want to accuse me of being a tyrant, but what they fail to tell you is that the majority of Colorado Republicans who are involved in our party, the Central Committee, and then, of course, our Assembly and Convention, they want this. I'm implementing the will of the majority, and they don't get to pretend that that's not a thing. I don't know of any tyrant that allows for debate and votes. What they don't like is that they're no longer able to convince the majority that their way is the way to go. So what I would say about the open primary thing is we're going to continue to fight it, because that's what Colorado Republicans are asking and that's what they want. And there is something to be said about, if you want to pick our nominees, then join the party, right? I mean, it's that simple.
Dave Williams is here. So for the record, what role does John Eastman now play in Colorado politics or Republican politics?
Well, he's not actively working as an attorney, because he's unable to do that.
He's disbarred. But, that's why he's not. He's been disbarred.
So he's pretty much been relegated to an advisory role so far. So Randy Corcoran, for example, he's the one leading, you know, all the legal efforts now on that front.
So if you have your way, and it's been debated hotly, who gets to control who comes to vote in the primaries? And is that a very wise move?
Republicans. Look, we have to make something very clear. What's the point of a political party if we've taken away any of their significance or relevance? I mean, with the Republican Party and also the Democrat Party, let's not forget about them. Not that I care about their success, but what's the point of having a political party if you take away their ability to choose candidates, the way they want to, when you especially couple it with the campaign finance limitations that are in place, along with automatic voter registration that defaults people into an unaffiliated role. I mean, there is a systematic effort here incrementally to do away with political parties. Maybe that's what the people ultimately want.
Do you find part of you that respects what the Democrats did?
Well, look, the Democrats, you do got to give them credit. They figured out, they came out with a long-term plan to figure out how to obtain political power, and they executed on it. And Republicans, because they were afraid to engage in the fight properly, or they didn't care, didn't do anything about it. They'll dispute that, but the proof is in the pudding. You can't get to a super majority status unless the other side failed, woefully failed. And I've only been chair for about a year and a half. These guys have been in charge for two decades at least.
Then what was the biggest failure of the Colorado Republican Party? I wrote a number of questions down. I wanted to bomb off you. Dave Williams is here. Do you believe that the election was stolen in Colorado?
Well, we have no evidence that, you know, that happened. I mean, what I think probably most likely happened around the country, and even to a certain extent here, were that ballot harvesting coupled with universal mail-in balloting is really what killed, you know, President Trump's reelection efforts, right? I think if you were to look at the ballots, for instance, in places like Pennsylvania or Arizona or, you know, any of those swing states, you'll probably find that the raw ballots themselves were there. The question was, were they legally cast, right? Were the ballot harvesting efforts done in those states? Were those ballots that were collected, should they have been legally collected? And I don't think that that's the case. I mean, there was even a poll that came out recently. You guys can look it up yourself. It's 1 in 5 people said they illegally casted ballots.
Yeah, but that is belief. I mean, what evidence could you present in a courtroom that would suggest what you say is true?
And it's not just belief. No, were 1 in 5 people admitted that they cast ballots. But that's my point. We're talking about tens of thousands of votes that separated victory from defeat for Donald Trump. If you're suggesting to me that ballot harvesting coupled with people who voted who shouldn't have voted was a factor, it certainly was, because that happens all the time. We presented evidence back in 2020 about at least 5,000 or 6,000 or so people that did not live here or died, and somehow they casted ballots in the Colorado election. That doesn't change the statewide results, but that sure as hell could have affected, you know, single district.
There have been some courts. The most important or significant one would be the Fox, when Fox paid $787.5 million for pretty much doing what I hear being done all the time. And then AON paid and Newsmax paid. Why didn't they come to, and this is my ongoing question, why didn't they come to you or come to Mike Lindell or come to Donald Trump himself and say, come into the court and show me the evidence of your beliefs? And why Rupert Murdoch settled was he knew he was on the short end of the stick. Your thoughts?
Well, I mean, I can't explain why Rupert Murdoch or those guys made the decision they made. Usually when these guys settle, it's because it's the cheaper route. Right?
So it would have been more. If had he gone into court, it would have been way past 787.5, and he knew it. And if you read enough of the information in books, you know why they settled, because they knew that they could not support what they had said under broadcasting. And you're watching it in Newsmax, and it happened to a number of these people, and now we have the Gateway Pundit files for bankruptcy right before the defamation lawsuits. Why is that?
Well, because lawfare is an effective tool by the left, right? It's look, your question implies that we have fair judges. We don't, Peter. I mean, that especially in Colorado. So let's get real about that. Yeah, you can make the claim that they're not winning in court, but most of those mm-hmm. initial lawsuits were not thrown out on merit. They were thrown out on standing or lack thereof.
Well, what judge by name did that here in Colorado?
I don't have this stuff in front of me. I mean, if you really want to get into it, I can.
No, I'm see that this is the crux of the party right now, and is that Trump had this election stolen from him, and I've watched the players that have come to this state, and.
But Peter, do you believe ballot harvesting is contributing to the election?
Yeah, okay. I believe they are.
Then you can't say that it wasn't a factor that led to Donald Trump losing. Now, maybe the word stolen is what you're having heartburn over.
I'm not. Whoa. I'm not having heartburn. You guys are the guys that say that, not you.
Well, no. Well, okay, fine. But I think if this is an issue of semantics, then let's get around the semantics.
Well, it's not semantics. Right? It's what's said.
No,
That's why it is.
Right. Do you think Democrats illegally ballot harvested in the swing states to help Joe Biden win?
I've heard those terms and watched those and read those reports, and I assume that logically they did what they did, but it was within the framework of being legal. What happened in Colorado out of the plan you and
no,
I talked about?
But that's not the case, Peter. That's
no
great.
One
did. If you think Democrats are only taking 10 ballots at a time and then that's it, that's crazy, right? Oh.
You have to show me. I'm from Missouri. You got to show me, and no one was able so far. I think there's a lot of belief and a lot of.
We've actually had clerks testify in the state capitol that the current limit is unenforceable. That they believe it's happening. That people are putting more ballots in the ballot box, but they can't enforce it. I mean, If we don't have to use the word stolen,
that's what's said. Donald Trump said it was stolen from him. He continues to say it.
Yeah, but you do appreciate that when Democrats are illegally ballot harvesting in a system that shouldn't have been allowed to begin with. Remember, Pennsylvania didn't allow for universal mail-in balloting, but they took advantage of the COVID lockdown.
That's what it was. Yeah, it was COVID.
When that system, so it wasn't legal. They just did it. But the point being here is when they engage in that kind of behavior, it's at least cheating. If you don't like the word stolen, maybe that's the better word to say.
They're the same. They're in and of themselves, they're the same term. Same thing with Mike Lindell coming here and Tina Peters. These are the things that people that want to vote for the Republican side or the conservative side. Honestly, Dave, I'm out there as much as you are, and maybe I hear things you don't, and maybe you hear things that I don't. But that turns people off. And you got to win in the middle.
I mean, if it turns people off, I want to understand why Donald Trump is right now poised to win the presidency if the election were held today. I mean, it's not so. It just isn't so. And I know this is what Dick Wadhams and others want people to think about, but Donald Trump is poised to become the next president of the United States, and that's painfully obvious, despite the objections and criticisms of those who don't want him to win.
It isn't a question of not wanting him to win. It's a question of behavior and things that were said and what it's done to the country.
Maybe for you, Peter, but Dick literally said he doesn't want to vote for Donald Trump.
Listen, we're having a conversation about the world, the flesh, and the devil without saying me or you. What I watch is this ongoing role that Donald Trump has played. And I can't change that. I don't want it, in terms of the abilities, but I certainly want to talk about it with you because do I read you right? Are you saying that nationally the election was stolen from Donald Trump?
The Democrats broke the rules in order to stuff the ballot box in those key swing states. And if you don't believe that, then you're either being blind or willfully ignorant.
No, I'm probably as tuned up about it as anyone, finishing books and talking to people and reading articles and spending time doing it. What I'm watching now is people heading for the hills now that they have to go into courtrooms. And that's the problems that they're having. All the things that were said and pushed now are folding like tents. One of your major guys here was John Eastman, and you know my history with Eastman, but Eastman has now been nailed again in Arizona. This stuff is frightening, Dave. You can't go and do that, and you know better.
The court system, the legal system is not fair. I mean, that's especially true in our time now. So, I mean, just because people are receiving indictments or being prosecuted, that doesn't mean what they did was wrong. I mean, look at Donald Trump. I know people are going to disagree with me on that one, but he's being harangued and harassed, and prosecutors are doing it not because they're seeking justice, but because they want to score political points for themselves or Joe Biden. This is lawfare, and it is election interference, and I think that's why most Americans are starting to wake up, and you're going to see Donald Trump win come November.
All those things may be, but it doesn't take away from what Giuliani did and what Jenna Ellis did and what the Kraken did, what Eastman did, what the internals in Trump's team did, people that support you did. It's a destruction to the Constitution. And I don't want to have that conversation, but I'm willing to. And if you think that that's okay, it violates everything that I think and I hold sacred about the country, the ability to pass the power. And Donald Trump wasn't capable. Now,
Donald Trump did not he did not interfere in the peaceful transfer of power. I mean, that
he was thinking about it.
He didn't do it. He didn't do it. It just never happened. So there's no point even talking about it.
Only because some very stalwart people stood and said no. For instance, his vice president, who I'm sure you don't like, Mike Pence. We know now Pence stood in the doorway and said no. And then people wanted to hang Mike Pence. So please don't suggest that they had nothing to do with it, because people like Eastman and Giuliani and others had everything to do with it, Dave, everything to do with it.
Look, I mean, I don't want to necessarily get into it.
No, neither do I.
But this is what's so crazy about this, because in the history of our entire country, people have objected to election results, including Democrats. Democrats were your original election deniers, right? And you don't believe me, look at all the certification proceedings that took place, especially when George W. Bush took office, right? They do this all the time, but all of a sudden Donald Trump and his supporters start to object to whether or not the election was valid. They're the bad guys.
I mean, it wasn't. There's a big difference between objecting an outcome and wanting to have a court moment. And it was actually W. Bush, and I think the Supreme Court put him in office. I truly believe that. But there's light years between what happened in this country and that moment with W. Let me see where we are. I don't know if we need a break or not. I'm looking at time. Can we break? It's totally up to Dave. Dave, can you hold through?
Yeah, you need a break.
Can I take one? All right, put him on hold, Lou, if you would. April 27, 24, excuse my voice. Dave Williams, the head of Colorado's congressional, and he's a congressional hopeful. He's the head of the GOP party. Our guest, Joe the Hitman Williams. We have both Williamses on. Sandy Clough will be at 11. I wrote a column that's you can go to our website, 710KNUS. It's from the Chronicle, and I entitled it "A Column That Nobody Likes, Including Me," about how did the great hatred emerge between Iran and the United States. And I'd like to maybe talk to some of that as well. Turn around. We'll come back. It's nasty weather. Stay here. Morning, everybody. I have the springtime don't ride your motorcycle outside voice this morning, the 27th of April, 2024, Saturday morning. Dave Williams is on hold. 42 will be the high today. It's done even freezing tonight. You just heard the man's voice, Danny Kaplis, longtime friend, believed to be the only attorney in Colorado history to win 5 straight multimillion-dollar jury verdicts in motor vehicle crash cases. And Dan's been a friend, I don't know for how many years, and he and his partners, they're just the best. The largest truck crash jury verdict in Colorado history. The firm's history of 7- and 8-figure settlements and verdicts speaks for itself. They're a firm where good people from all walks of life, without regard to the ability to pay, get the same level of legal representation that the rich and powerful enjoy. Danny's there. He has come through so many times. Capitalist Law believes who you hire says so much about you. If you need his help, it's only a question. Call 303-770-5551, 303-770-5551, or Dan Capitalist Law, Danny, of course, CAPLISLaw.com. He is my friend, 303-770-5551. Kind enough to be with us on a cold Saturday morning. Dave Williams, chairman of the Colorado Republican Party, running for a House seat himself. And we can continue with the other, what we were talking about, or we can talk about the problems here in Colorado. Which do you prefer, Dave?
Well, why don't we get to your other questions? Because I'm sure you wanted to go through a wide range of stuff.
Yeah, I mean, if elections are one in the middle, they're not one on the fringe. And it, I don't care what election it is, it's one in the center. You are hardly a centrist. And I don't know if that's good or bad. I'm not condemning you for your position. But how do you expect to the so-called soccer mom demo or whatever they're being called now, how do you garner those votes to yourself?
Well, I think we gotta address the premise a little bit. I mean, the last three election cycles, certainly the last one, would tell me that it's not necessarily you got to run to the center in order to win. I mean, if that were to be true, then Joe O'Dea would be United States Senator, and he's not.
Well, that was a simple case. That was an interesting case of who didn't want it.
Well, be that as it may, I mean, if you're asking me my thoughts, my thought is that if we're going to win, then elections are they're won on what most voters are caring about and thinking about and how we approach it, as well as contrasting ourselves with the other side. I mean, the Democrats have figured this out, and this is the thing that's the most frustrating when you talk to people, you know, like Dick, for example, continue to invoke him, is that these voters, they're not ideologically driven. The ones that we're talking about anyway, the swing voters, if they were driven by ideology, they'd affiliate in some way, or at least somehow show how they're aligned right or left. They're not driven like that. So the way I think to win is to first off figure out what issues these people care about along with everyone else. And right now the top issue is immigration. That's undeniable. The number one issue across this country is immigration, followed by inflation, cost of living, mm-hmm. sort of coupled with spending in Washington that's driving that. And then crime. Crime is also ticking up there. If you actually look at some of the polling that I've seen, things like abortion, for example, they're in the single digits, right? They might be high double digits for Democrats. That makes sense because that's all they seem to think and talk about. But when you're looking at voters who aren't affiliated one way or the other, it's some of these basic issues that, you know, they're seeing and witnessing in their own hometown, right? When you see shelters being overrun by illegal aliens because they're here, or Denver having to cut $100 million+ in city services in order to deal with that crisis, then yeah, it's going to be something that they care about. So if Republicans want to win, we have to start addressing that issue, number one, and then showcasing or highlighting how Democrats are out of touch and corrupt on it. And by the way, that's all Democrats have been doing for the past 20 years. They've been figuring out what the top issues are and saying that Republicans are terrible people and that they're the normal, you know, party that can, you know, solve those problems. That's all they've been doing.
In the state of Colorado, Donald Trump loses both times. The second time he loses significantly. I like what you just said. You make the case for all the things that I get lockjaws over, what we're watching on the border, what's happening with homeless people, the rest of the nonsense. You're absolutely right. How do you do that, Dave, without picking up all this other baggage that's floating around on talk radio or different places and lawsuits and the craziness that goes with it? How do you separate yourself to go
the people driving some of the stories and the criticism and the divisiveness that you're, I think, addressing are the people like Dick Wadhams.
Oh,
the Republican. Yeah, no, they are. These are, no, look, I'll give you a real world example here, right? If these people would spend half the energy they do on attacking conservatives against Democrats, we wouldn't be in the situation that we're at. I'll give you a great example. In 2022, and certainly in 2020, moneyed interests in the Republican Party, the establishment folks who were able to get millions of dollars in resources, spent six figures, significant six figures, sometimes $250,000 or more on electing certain Republicans in safe Republican districts, who then didn't have enough resources to go on and defeat Democrats in general elections that were really close. And that's objectively true. One great example is that of a gal named Lisa Frizzell in 2022. She was a House district candidate at the time. She won her election, but they spent $250,000 for her to win against a guy named Bill Jack in a safe Republican seat. Doesn't matter the outcome. It would have been Republican regardless. But then come the general election, we were losing seats left and right by hundreds of votes, literally. It's especially Douglas County. It's a great example because in 43, the Republican nominee lost by about 400 votes. Think about what $250,000 would have done in the general election. It would have flipped it. My point in saying this is that these guys who are creating the problems in our party would rather allow Democrats to win than have conservatives they disagree with be in power.
But they say that about you, that you would rather commit suicide than let them come ahead. That's what I listen to and watch. But I'm going to come back to what you said when you said, oh, no, that the guys like Dick Wadhams caused a problem. Look, Donald Trump started to scream stolen in June before the election was even held. And they continue to do it. And they did it on talk radio, did it on Fox News, did it on Newsmax, did it on OEM. Those were the places it was said by Republicans who were not the Dick Wadhams kind, but rather more the Dave Williams kind. And they're the ones that created the problem that even exists today. And it turns people away. I know you might not want to believe that, but it turns people away when they hear Dave Williams give the issues. And I thought, damn, you're saying exactly what I want to hear. Yeah.
No, but it does not. First off, again, Donald Trump got elected in 2016. The type of things that I'm telling you about have gone on for 20 years plus, right? And they can blame us all they want. I think it's projection, quite frankly. But they're the ones with the resources. They're the ones with the money. They're the ones that are driving the bus, and they certainly have been in Colorado politics for years. So they can't say that we're somehow blocking out their.
No, they're not. I'm not saying that. I'm not saying I'm the creation of the disruption and the ability to go after people, then
no,
that's tough.
I mean, they've been doing this for years,
no.
Right? I think what they're upset about is that we're no longer taking it quietly, right? We're no longer simply, you know, putting our head in the sand and saying, okay, whatever it is, we'll just go ahead and elect whatever puke Republican there is just because we can have someone in office. I mean, we're saying we want better representation, and they don't ever want to give it to us. I mean, that's the problem that I think most in the Republican base, and certainly those who aren't voting for us in the general, are most fed up with, is you have these hypocritical politicians that say, hey, we want to limit government. We want to return more money and power back to the individual or the states. And then they don't do it. I mean, Peter, why would anyone trust the Dick Wadhams wing of the party when they've never delivered, in fact, worked with Democrats in order to screw you over? Here's the dirty secret that I witnessed in the legislature firsthand. Every single bill that the Democrats put forward were terrible, but most of them were supported by Republicans. But you'll never hear that from the people who are trying to say, oh, put us in power.
We saw that with the injection sites where there were Republicans that crossed over, and for the life of me, I can't understand it. But that doesn't negate, you know, the things that we're talking about. How do you win? And the idea that
I see
you guys almost as a vanguard party, and there's purging that's taking place. It really is. And whether, you know, people fear it, and they're afraid right now. The Republican Party got us back to the wall.
Well, mechanically, it's quite simple, right? You figure out the issues that people care about, and then you show that your party will deliver and the other side is terrible and awful, right? That's all Democrats do. But if we're going to win, It's got to be the establishment and the moneyed people actually getting into that program. They don't do it. Because I think they have more in common with Democrats, quite frankly. I don't think they have a problem with the growth of government. I don't think they have a problem with their special interest buddies raiding the taxpayer dollars so long as they're managing it or they have a seat at the table. I can't begin to tell you how many stories where Republicans were okay with violating their purported principles or what they campaigned on so long as they could get a photo op with the governor. That's how bad it is. And that's the problem. If we want to win, then the moneyed interests who are donating to the establishment types or the establishment themselves, like Dick, instead of attacking conservatives in a primary, go do that against Democrats.
Dave Williams is here, Peter Boyle, 710 KNUS. Is there a difference now between a conservative and what the fringe of the Republican Party has become? Because I see a major difference. And
if you're telling me that someone like Mitt Romney is somehow a conservative and that it's...
No, I'm not telling you anybody. I'm talking about my personal beliefs.
I'm trying to answer your question and articulate it through analogy here. My point is that we have supposed conservatives who aren't really conservatives. These are folks who have figured out how to campaign right, but then do something opposite, who control the House of Representatives, for example, in Congress. And they go ahead and they pass $1.2 trillion in an omnibus spending bill that grants the Democrats all their spending priorities. That's the problem that we have. And that's why the American public has a tough time voting for Republicans generally, because they don't follow through on their word. If we're going to win, then do what I'm suggesting. Attack Democrats instead of conservatives.
But the Democrats now have, and I've said this before, what the Democratic Party has turned into is a socialist workers' party, a Trotskyist organization. I see that in many of these people that are Democrats. But I also see some insanity on the other side of the aisle as well. What I'm saying to you, and it's a dime's worth of, and it's worth a dime to tell you that, but if you read voter behavior, by and large, people vote against someone as opposed to for someone. And the case was made that people disliked Hillary Clinton so much they voted for Donald Trump, then started disliking Trump and voted for Joe Biden. I just finished reading about, if you vote for Joe Biden, you're really voting for Kamala Harris, because Joe Biden's not going to make a full pull. I am no fan of the Democratic Party or their policies. But Dave, if you're going to pull this one off, you got to get away from the crazy stuff.
Again, there's a lot to unpack.
I understand.
I know you want to focus on what you would consider to be fringy stuff, especially as it relates to Donald Trump. But I'm trying to tell you empirically, had the establishment spent $250,000 on defeating Bob Marshall, the Democrat who won in House District 43, as opposed to trying to make sure that their preferred candidate won the primary in a safe seat, we would be better off in the state legislature. And that's empirically true.
Well,
and if we do more stuff like that, we will win, especially on down ballot stuff.
Hillary Clinton had more money than Donald Trump, still lost.
That's true, yeah. I'm giving you the facts as I see them. The establishment doesn't want to actually spend money against Democrats in the way that they do against conservatives. They don't want conservatives, real ones, winning.
Who's?
Because they want to be able to control the growth of government. So that's it. That's the problem here. These people have figured out how to get money and wealth through government action. And when real conservatives come through to say, no, this is not what we're supposed to be doing, they do everything they can to get rid of them.
Do me a favor here. Explain who a true conservative is without invoking Donald Trump. Who is a true conservative?
That's fine. A true conservative is someone who understands that we have too much government. We have too much spending. We have too much of a bureaucracy that's taking more people's money away from people and their freedom. A true conservative is someone who goes up there and says, regardless of the lobbyists or the special interests that helped, create the situation that we have, we're going to fight against their attempts to take away taxpayer dollars to enrich themselves. We're going to shrink government. and we're going to empower the individual. That's what a true conservative is. But you want to go look at the legislature, especially the United States Congress. You'll see that a lot of Republicans vote like Democrats to raid taxpayer dollars and give it to their buddies and their friends. And that especially includes people like Dick Wadhams.
I know this is the anti-Dick segment, but he's hammered on you on the show as well. But, you know, I'm just a name. Marjorie Taylor Greene is, what do you do with her?
I don't know what to tell you about Marjorie Taylor Greene. She was duly elected by her district.
Well, I understand.
If people don't like her, then go campaign against her. But I suspect that the people in her district vote her in because regardless
how she makes... That's not what I ask. What do you do with her?
I'm explaining it. If regardless of what you may think on the outside, the people keep electing her because they at least perceive her to be someone who is fighting against the status quo and the folks that are taking your dollars, Peter, and enriching themselves. I mean, people are willing to tolerate a lot of personality quirks so long as they know that someone's looking out for them. That's what I think is going on with Marjorie Taylor Greene. So the only thing to do with her is either work with her to fight the establishment and the insiders in both political parties or unelect her. For me, I'm in Colorado. She's in Georgia.
I know. You're,
she's reelected.
This is why you're a politician. What I'm saying is the people like that are, for myself, a turn away. And yet I find, you know, like what you just did 10 minutes ago on the show, that when you laid out the issues, Dave, that's spot on. Everything you said is true.
Yeah, but the establishment won't actually fight against those things because they don't care. I mean, you want to talk about immigration. The problem we have in this country is you have both political parties.
Great.
Those who have problems,
great.
Both political parties don't want to solve it. One wants a new voter base and the other wants cheap labor.
That's right.
That's the problem.
One of the biggest supporters of knocking down any attempts is the National Chamber of Commerce, which is by and large a Republican outfit. They want, it explains the Bush's positions, both father and son. They want cheap labor crossing the border. I agree with you that that's where they meet and they touch. But how do we pull the country away from the craziness that I've witnessed since, I don't know, John Kennedy's assassination? And it's a slide into hell.
Look, if not that I necessarily agree with your premise on certain people being fringy or extreme, but here's a piece of advice I would give to the establishment, because they're the establishment for the reason. Address those issues and actually solve them instead of lying to the American public, right? If you solve immigration because that's what the people want, you do that, then you're going to have less challenges from those who that you would deem crazy.
Well,
that would be the answer. Solve the issue instead of BSing us.
Well, if, and I say if, dot, 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 what I'm listening to and hearing from sections of the party continue, you get clipped again. And I don't want that to happen. But I'm saying, you know, with respect, they you got to pull away from these people. You got to get away from them and do it, and be it as it may, then it's a repetition. And
no problem. You bet. I will definitely pull away from Dick Wadhams. He's crazy to where he wants to help Democrats.
Oh gosh. How about if we set up a show with you and Dick together? Would you do it?
I mean, I'll do it after June because I got a lot of work ahead of me. But
we'll do it on a Saturday morning. We can do it at 9 o'clock by phone. I'll put
I don't mind talking. Look, I've actually tried to reach out to Dick personally through surrogates, and he has always been against doing it. Right, this is a guy who doesn't actually want to talk to me, but if he wants to joust with me publicly,
how about it?
I don't have a problem with it. It's just a matter of scheduling.
I mean, how about if I reach out to Dick, reach out to you, say, hey, you guys agree to 9 o'clock on a Saturday morning, or even come do the YouTube show? I mean, I would love to hear that. Because the animosity is there. And now John Caldera gets apparently thrown in the hat as well. And John.
Oh, definitely.
Yeah.
Definitely John Caldera. This is a guy who claims to be a libertarian, but then elects and helps and supports unlibertarian things. I mean, he's not even a Republican, right? Keep that in mind. Caldera is not even a Republican. But if you want me and Dick to go on the show, that's fine. I'm especially going to ask him about 2010 and why he almost led us into a minor party status with Dan Mays.
Well, they put the Dan Mays thing. We rode that all the way down, Tancredo and I. And
right.
Now Tommy's the reason why the Republican Party, who despises Tom, but you know doesn't know what to do with Tom. I mean, I was a witness to that. I rode with Tom. I met with Tom when he made a decision to run. So, I think the state would be a hell of a lot better off with Tom as governor.
Yeah, well, I blame Dan Mays and Dick Wadhams for failing to make it happen. So.
Well, but remember what happened. There was a deal cut, and Tancredo stepped aside for another person to run, and then it turned out that guy was a plagiarist and everything that went with that.
Right.
And that was inside Republican Party politics. I was there the night that they told Tom to step aside, and he did. And it was for a whole other person other than Dan Mays. Dan Mays was the total fallback position. And I don't know if you can blame Wadhams for that, because I watched the other take place.
Well, I mean, we can certainly get into it for sure.
Yeah,
but
no.
His hands aren't clean, I'll tell you that.
Well, in the light of politics anymore, et tu, Brute, you know, who really is the clean person? I principally don't see it, but I tell you what, I would love to hear you and Dick. I think that'd be great. Be a good show. Be a best show.
Well, if he's feeling feisty, I mean, let me know. It's just we'll figure out schedules.
That'd be an answer for you. I'll have an answer for you, I don't know, Monday morning. But you've given more time than I thought. And I really appreciate you doing this, David. As they always say, good luck, break a leg, but that's going to be a tough road to hoe.
Sure, sure. Well, I appreciate it. Thanks for having me on.
Thanks, brother.
Happy to do it another time.
All right, man, we'll talk. All right, 303-696-1971. It is 9:50, 10 before the hour. I'm behind, am I not? Yeah, I'm way behind. Turn it over to Lou Gonzalez. Hang on, 710 KNUS. Excuse my voice again, being outside riding motorcycles. I think I caught it right in the throat. 42 will be the high today. Rain, snow, mix in the city. 57 on Sunday. Monday, 68. Open lines coming up. Joe the Hitman Williams, Sandy Clough on the show. David Ellis, Cherry Creek. You've heard me talk about David for so many years. Get a fortune in cash and secure an appraisal from David for all the valuables you have tucked away in your home. And it's still true, so let me share the other reasons to see David, just in case you don't have a Rolex or rare coins or a silver tea set. Weddings are coming up, and, of course, graduations are coming up, looking for the right gifts. Go to see David for all the most meaningful gift-giving occasions. David and the jewelers that are there are just the great, great team. Antique watches, emerald pendants, gold necklaces, diamond rings. The trusted jeweler has been buying and all precious metals and antiques here in Colorado for decades. Dazzling display cases, hundreds of new and used pieces your loved ones will treasure. See the man, David Ellis. He's there today, 6 days a week. David Ellis Jewelers, to see for yourself the black awning on the corner of 3rd and Clayton and Cherry Creek. Explore DavidEllisJewelry.com, DavidEllisJewelry.com, or call him at 303-322-8779, 303-322-8779. We have open lines coming in the next hour, and I wrote a column that you can look on the website. It's entitled A Column That Nobody Likes, Including Me. It's up on our website, 710KNUS. Click on shows, click on me, and click on the column. I'll read parts of it. As well as where anything else goes. And then the Hitman, Joe Williams and Sandy Clough at 11, 710 KNUS.
3-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
with in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.